Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Poor Man's Podcast, Sports Extra with Sports Guy JP. I'm your host, Chris, along with me, obviously, Sports Guy JP. JP, how are you doing this week?
I'm great. How's it going over in Poor Man's Studios?
We're excellent over here, actually. We just had a big show last night. We had Chancellor Humphreys come in. We had Marcus Cox and Casper, so we had some comedians in the area. So that was a pretty good show. It went pretty long, pretty late, but some quality material. But we're happy to have you on today. Talk some sports. Big week for the Steelers. Big week for the NFL in general, being back.
Yeah, week one's always an exciting time of year where we're crowning Super Bowl champions and who needs to be cut and who should be in the Hall of Fame, you know, after one game. You know, people cutting fantasy players they drafted in the third round and everything. Week one.
It's always the best time to overreact. For good for bad.
Absolutely. Bill Belichick, over the course of his career, has not been successful in September. So, just goes to show, week one, not always what matters.
Yeah, they rarely crown the champion in September. but Steelers start out 1-0. Can't start any better than that. And an impressive win at Buffalo, a legit contender with a legit team. What did you take away from this game?
So I think in typical Steeler and typical Tomlin fashion, what he said was right. We're not playing for style points. We're just playing to win games. So I think he's technically right on that. However, there are many issues they still need to address. I think that the Steelers, while they technically got the W, Bills just kind of underachieved more so than the Steelers playing a good football game.
Do you think that the Bills went in kind of thinking that they I don't know, didn't have to go as hard, or do you think, because it seemed like the Steelers put up a better fight than I was expecting them to.
Potentially. It's always week one. Every year, there's always a team who's supposed to be great or supposed to disappoint. It's always the opposite. Buffalo is still a young team. I think they're a talented team, a well-coached team. I think Josh Allen came a little bit down to earth past week. He had a great year last year, but he does have a history, too, of, making some stupid decisions. And I think that because he was facing so much pressure from the Steelers defense, that's what he was doing, was just making his first reads and often sloppy more than efficient.
Now, I was seeing that I think the Steelers only blitzed, like sent more than four rushers two times in the entire game, and they seem to have consistent pressure the entire game. So that's definitely a good sign going forward for them.
Yeah, so I have the Steelers blitzed on 2 out of 54 dropbacks, which was 3.7%. They played nickel or dime on 74 out of 79 snaps. Wow. And so basically the scheme was to use Bush and Schobert to stop the run. So they were, those guys were single-handedly being told to stop the run while everyone else was either putting pressure or covering their guys. I guess they were over-preparing for Josh Allen and the big arm. Melvin Ingram had 5 pressures, TJ Watt, 6 pressures with 2 sacks and a forced fumble. And I think Cam Hayward, while he doesn't get the 2 sacks that TJ Watt had, I think he made up for it more so with 10 pressures, 1 sack, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery.
Cam Hayward was unworldly that day.
From a nose tackle perspective.
Right. I believe it's Pro Football Focus that does the numbers, and he was ranked almost like perfect to score, or 95 or 98 or something, whatever they do on there.
The Steelers front as well generated 19 total pressures, 11 of those coming within 2.5 seconds of the snap.
Yeah.
And they drew 6 holding penalties as well as hitting Allen in 8 extra times as well.
The way the Bills have Allen just kind of do the quarterback draw up the middle, I don't remember seeing any team do that. I mean, Allen's a big guy, but he's your franchise quarterback. He's taking hits.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick Mahomes got injured a year or two ago running a QB sneak. It's simply not worth it.
Not for somebody like that and the style that he runs. He's not sliding. He's putting his head down for contact.
Yeah, and this is a team with no run game, average offensive line, and wide receivers who, I mean, let's face it, Stephon Diggs was traded for a reason. He even reported that he felt like he was a bad teammate towards the end of Minnesota, but he's talented. But he's beyond Diggs, talented. I mean, they don't have an offensive player other than Allen. I mean, he goes down, I think, more so than any other team in the NFL. Buffalo may be thrown in the towel.
Yeah. I agree with that. I thought the Steelers' defensive backs came out and played better than I thought. Minka Fitzpatrick, I think, is maybe the top safety in the league, if not one of the top three. Joe Hayden did as well as he could have, I thought. Yeah. I think Stephon Diggs had 69 yards, no touchdowns. I will take that for Diggs. And I thought Sutton played a lot better than I expected him to. Pierre did better than I thought. So the Steelers' defense, I know it's only one game, but it was against a quality team, and I thought they showed up.
Yeah, defense looked great, phenomenal. They also only allowed 16 points, three of which came off the opening return.
Right.
Holding Buffalo to field goal was crucial to set the tone early. They allowed a costly touchdown by the second half, but that's the only time Buffalo was in the end zone. They Pro Football Focus actually listed that Hayden was the only D-back on the Steelers who allowed more than 50 yards through the air. Everyone else held their guys under. However, Hayden did get the bulk of Stephon Diggs, and he was still graded as Pro Football Focus's all week one team, along with Cam Hayward, I believe.
I was surprised, like I said, to keep them under that, but I thought, you know, the Steelers, I like Hayden, but, you know, when is his age going to finally show up? And Stephon Diggs is one of the premier receivers in the league, and to keep him, like I said, to the stat line that he had, I think that's a win.
Yeah, and this is with Hayden during a contract year where he said he's going to test the market, but can't blame the Steelers considering Hayden's 32, 33, playing at a high level still, but, you know, it's tough to ink someone to a contract that age playing that position.
Right. I think we said last week, I'm always been a Hayden fan since he got drafted out of Florida when he went to the Browns. I was like, oh, I wish, you know, somebody we could get him. And then when he fell into the Steelers' lap a couple years ago, I was over the moon about it. And, you know, being a Pittsburgh fan, we don't see a ton of great cornerbacks here. I mean, Ike Taylor was a decent cover guy. He was a good run stopper, but he couldn't hold on to a ball to save his life. And then besides that, you know, I think we said that last week. It's just been a procession of mediocre cornerbacks.
Yes, a lot of what they do, I believe, is they think back to the Deshae Townsends, the Ike Taylors, you know, the corners when they were winning Super Bowls. And I think they draft to fit that scheme a little bit, which they draft a corner to tackle more so than cover. Right. And yeah, Artie Burns was awful.
I mean, as long as the Steelers can keep getting pressures, then you don't have to have a premier shutdown corner because the quarterback, I mean, what did you say? 2.5 seconds they were getting to Josh Allen?
Yes, and I'm thinking now if you can just get these corners to jam your receivers, right, that throws them off their balance.
Even for a half second.
Another second. Yeah. Right. And then you get 1.5 seconds and you get, you know, all these guys penetrating, you know, quarterback, not to mention Stephon Tuitt is not playing till week 4 and they are still getting that, you know, pressure.
Right. If they have Wormley in there, can you imagine what they're going to do with him? I was impressed with Melvin Ingram, too. The knock on him was he's getting a little bit older. He was down. He had a down year last year. If he can come back and play like the Melvin Ingram of old, this Steelers defense can be something this year.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I'm just afraid, you know, as the nature of the game, injuries come. Steelers, I'm just thinking one injury, though, to the secondary or that front seven, I think would be very costly.
If Cam Hayward went down, TJ Watt went down, or Minka Fitzpatrick went down, that could really set them back because there is not a lot of depth, especially a defensive back. If Tuitt's not here, I mean, hopefully he will be back, like you said, week 4 on the short-term IR. But, the depth definitely has me worried, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the defense picked up right where it left off. Fitzpatrick and Bush both ended with 10 tackles. I think they're going to still be a premier defense in the league. But my concerns is generally never with the Steelers' defense, but with the offense. Yeah. I think they played as expected, but it was, it was expected and disappointing in a way. And like, I don't know if they're the team who makes the proper adjustments that they need to.
I was concerned with the offense, concerned with Ben's age, concerned with the running game. definitely concerned with the offensive line. I wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt being week one. Everyone's a little bit rusty, but that offensive line did not seem to get any push. Their run game was lackluster at best.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So their offensive line, I think with Najee Harris was disappointing too, mainly because of the play of the offensive line.
I agree. He was in there for every offensive play, correct? And I thought I think every offensive play that he could have been in, he was in there. I thought he did about as well as he could have. He had, I think, the one 12-yard run, but everything else seemed to, he was relatively bottled up. But it, like I said, it didn't seem like that offensive line was getting any push. They weren't doing him any favors.
No, so to put it in perspective, Najee Harris had 16 rush attempts for 45 yards. Get this, he didn't face a single snap with 8-plus defenders in the box.
Oh, wow.
So I think Buffalo knew immediately we can get pressure on Roethlisberger and stop the run with this offensive line. And they stuck to it, and they held him in check, receivers in check, Roethlisberger in check. It just makes a difference when, you know, like Steelers won that game based off of Boswell field goals and a blocked punt.
Yeah.
Roethlisberger managed what he could and got one touchdown, and that was enough.
I thought he looked a lot better in the second half. I really do like Claypool, and it seems like he gets like a big pass interference call every game, which honestly is just as good as pulling in the ball at the end of the day. Maybe it doesn't show up on his fantasy line, but for the Steelers playing the game of football, not from a fantasy standpoint, which everybody's skewed about right now, and probably going 100%. Forward. But that gets you
to a sec, but back to the line. I guess Matt Canada, the new offensive coordinator, really wanted to mix up what he presented versus what he ran. So they did get a little bit more progressive with the motions and jet sweeps, I've noticed.
Claypool had a nice run on a reverse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw Claypool had a 25-yard run on a reverse. I know they sent Juju in motion a lot. Kind of what McVay does where it's like, we're going to send Cooper Kupp or Robert Woods on a motion, but more so as a decoy more than anything.
Yeah.
And I think that's how the league's going a lot.
I think they need that from last year when they had no play action whatsoever. At least this way, it kind of keeps the defense on their toes. And even if it is just a decoy every time to set it up, the fact that they know it's not going to be a 5-yard slant every time, let's bring everybody up because we don't respect the deep game. We don't respect the run game. So let's just stop the quick passing game. They need that, and I think I heard that they did play action a lot more that game, and I think that's what they need in that offense to really open it up. They need to do the play action, and they need to get the ball downfield, even if it's not always for a reception, just to keep them on their toes.
They need to do that as well as, but, you know, if you're going to run play action, you got to run the ball effectively as well.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I think they're worried about that offensive line. Will they respect Harris coming up the middle behind that offensive line?
Right.
I don't know that I would, but I would respect Claypool coming around or whoever's coming around on something like that or a quick screen or something like that.
Yeah, they presented O-line 9 zone concepts, 7 gap schemes on their run plays, and all three interior linemen. So there's Dotson and Turner guard and the rookie Green center.
Right.
All three linemen defeated on 20% of their attempts and allowed 2 sacks.
2 sacks right up the middle.
Yeah.
You can't have that.
Yeah, and lost 20% of their attempts at blocking. That's a
fit. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Yeah, you can't have
that
at all.
You get 3 and out, that's 3 plays. 20% is every 5 plays. Offensive lineman in the interior is getting beat.
And it's not like there's an injury there and we're waiting for a stud to come back. Like, this is how it looks. Hopefully, with them playing together longer, because it is a new offensive line, and it does take time for an offensive line to mesh and gel together. But I don't know that that's the issue. Or I thought Green would be better, but he seems to get blown back a lot more. And I know in Pittsburgh, we're spoiled with centers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from Webster to Dermoni Dawson to Jeff Hardings to Marcus Pouncey. Like, it's been, you know, one of the premier centers in the league for the last forever.
Hall of Famer. That's going to be the Steelers' 3rd Hall of Fame center. No other team has more than one.
Yeah. So, we'll see with that. What did you get away from the offense that can give you some optimism going to next week?
They play who? Vegas. I'm still not big. Vegas is that team that comes out firing every year and then struggles over the course of the year. Yes. Steelers do struggle against the Raiders throughout recent memory.
Yes.
But I think if there's any silver lining, I think Steelers still have a lot of playmakers. Roethlisberger, I like Roethlisberger to win a game more than Derek Carr. I think Roethlisberger hopefully I said that right, more weapons than Derek Carr. Derek Carr is firing Darren Waller every play. Right. Waller, for as incredible as he is, I think Steelers are going to find a way to cover that with this defense or rush Carr so he can't get that.
I mean, whatever, even if you have a stud, when it's one-dimensional and it can be that one guy, that makes the offense, you know, that much less powerful. Did you watch the Vegas Ravens game last night? I didn't get a chance to because we were recording the show last night. I was completely forgetting that Monday Night Football is back while we were recording, but I didn't get a chance to see it. I did see that Vegas won in overtime.
Yes, they went on a game-winning touchdown, which Lamar Jackson fumbled a ball from Carl Nassib, the first openly gay player to play. You know, I guess Michael Sam got lost in the mix, but Nassib has actually played downs. He's actually the one that popped the ball on Lamar Jackson. Raiders took over around like the 35 or so. Carr just threw a touchdown a couple plays later, and they won 33-27.
What happened on that? I saw him going on like a post, but he seemed like he was open. Did Humphrey lose an assignment or something, or did he just get beat?
I think someone missed an assignment. That was a blown coverage because Derek Carr's like lobbing it off his back foot.
Right.
Because he knows this guy's all by himself.
If you see that early, that has to be some guy maybe came up that should have been playing a deep zone and just left it wide. It was like that Cooper Kupp touchdown. I mean, it wasn't as open as that. I've never seen a wide receiver open like that, that deep in the secondary. But I'm happy to see the Ravens lose every time. The Ravens lost, the Browns lost. Did you get anything from the Browns game?
Browns game, that was kind of expected. Browns are good. Chiefs are great. Yeah. That's what I got from it.
The Browns came out in that first half coming for him. I was impressed. Yeah,
I love Kevin Stefanski's play calling. They're going for two, going for it on fourth, and they're converting.
Yeah.
They're not that's where another thing where Buffalo struggled was they kind of got cute a couple times on fourth down and Steelers held them. And that's not what Kansas City did at first. Browns looked great at first. They were doing what they do best. Kareem Hunt had a rushing touchdown. Nick Chubb added two on the ground as well. Baker didn't throw any touchdowns, but he made the throws to move them down the field. And then, I mean, Kansas City is the New England Patriots. Like, you never have them beat until the game is over.
I'm glad you said that because not that they were getting their asses kicked in the beginning like the New England Atlanta Super Bowl, but during that Super Bowl, I was like, never count Brady out. And and in this game, it was like the Browns looked good, but Kansas City is still Kansas City until you beat Kansas City, and they didn't. And I thought that drive at the end was very telling for the Browns. And I know they had that special team snafu where the punter just dropped it and then ran around, but I thought that last drive would have really separated Baker Mayfield to show if he really is an elite quarterback in this league, and they didn't convert.
Yeah, and that's what happens. It's like I said, too, the Chiefs, Tyreek, like the Browns you thought took a go-ahead lead. Then Mahomes hits Tyreek Hill for, 76 yards on a touchdown? Like, it's a team, I've never seen a team that can move the ball as cleanly and as efficiently as the Kansas City Chiefs. And that includes all the years I've seen Peyton or Brady. I'm not saying that Mahomes is better than those guys, but I think when it comes to any team in the history of the game, you need a three-play drive to get in field goal range or get a touchdown. It's this team with Kelce, Hill, and Mahomes.
Oh, they have playmakers. They're the opposite of the Bills. Like how we were saying, they had a one-trick pony kind of thing. They can beat you from multiple different ways every week.
That's not the Steelers don't have that number one receiver. I know some people like to say, well, they have a lot of you know, good players. I think a guy like a Tyreek Hill or Stephon Diggs makes a difference. Juju Claypool and Deontay Johnson this week. Juju 4 receptions, 52. Claypool 3 for 45. Johnson 5 for 36. So if you combine all that, that's only, what, 100-something yards?
Yeah, I think Roethlisberger ended the game under 200 yards passing.
Uh-huh.
So I think the community there would be under.
The issue, too, I wanted to mention these wide receivers, too. While they have the offensive line that I said is getting beat pretty consistently, 61% of Deontay Johnson and Juju's yards combined were after the catch.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Well, I heard that they only threw the ball beyond 20 yards two times.
It may have been once. I don't know though.
Well, they might not have completed it because I know the Claypool one was over 20 yards, and then there might have been another one that got called back for holding or something. I think. But you gotta stretch the field a little bit, I think, just to keep the defense honest, just to make that safety not come up so much. And I think Claypool, because like you were saying, there's not a true number one, and I don't think anyone's proven it yet. I think Claypool has the potential to really be a beast. That catch he had on White, who is no slouch of a cornerback, that was a hell of a catch. He jumped up, went over him, and then White had his hand on that ball. If you don't play the game, you don't know how hard that is to hold on to that ball. And that was a hell of a catch by Claypool.
Yeah, and he survived the ground, shorter hit it, and he held on to the ball.
He could have easily dropped that at four different points, and you really couldn't have blamed him. But the fact that he held on to it was, I like that a lot. I'd like to see the tight ends get a little bit more involved.
They combined two total catch, one apiece, I think.
They did. Freiermuth had a big first down. I didn't see Ebron's.
Ebron's catch was actually like a clutch catch.
I heard that on the radio. I didn't see it. But that's huge if we can get that. And not every week you're going to have everybody putting up points. As long as you get that win at the end of the day, you know, that's what counts. Mm-hmm. And they did against a quality team.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to say too, is I caught 1 of 5 9 the X, Mark Madden, also insisted Steelers just need to recognize who they are. Deontay's your he says that Deontay's like your other receiver. Claypool has to be your one, and Juju has to be the possession. So like, you should just start, instead of like going bits and pieces of all these guys, just see if Claypool is the guy, and if not, you know, like, no harm in trying it. But he's the most talented, most explosive. Start utilizing him that way.
He's that prototype wide receiver that you want to see. He's tall. Uh-huh. He's fast. He has some pretty decent hands.
Mm-hmm. I wish he would. I don't know. I think all these guys on offense are a little bit of a all kind of doofuses in their own way. I wish they would all kind of pull it together.
Yeah, they're almost like the next crop of the Young Money bunch. Except they haven't really beat anyone. Although the other guys didn't really either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't think they're as talented top to bottom as those guys were, because those guys were all could be legit number ones. At least Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown, obviously. Emmanuel Sanders is still pretty decent, but
exactly.
It remains to be seen. Deontay Johnson's touchdown catch was a hell of a catch, especially with his record of dropping the ball. You couldn't really blame him for that. It did get redirected, which is not an easy catch. Sometimes when you're looking it in and it gets redirected at the last second, or did it hit off his hands and then just caught it again? Either way, it was a hell of a catch.
I think it hit off, then he repositioned himself. Okay.
But, I mean, he didn't have any room to spare. And then he got that second toe down. Hell of a catch. Big play at a big time.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, so I think in conclusion, though, Steelers D looks great. Steelers offense, like, here's some quick summary. Offensive line, like I said, a fifth of their snaps, they're getting beat. Matt Canada obviously wants to give his receivers space to make plays, which is where all the quick passes are coming in.
Yeah.
That's where you get 61% of, run after the catch for all your receptions. But here's the other. Roethlisberger had an average of 2.3 seconds to throw the ball, which was the worst in the entire NFL in week one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he finished 28th in passing yards over this week. Only guys to finish below him were, ironically enough, Aaron Rodgers was one of them, and like Matt Ryan. among guys who actually played like the majority of their games.
Yeah, it was a, JP, I'd like to get into your sports picks, but before that, I didn't see any of the Packers game. What happened with Aaron Rodgers?
I didn't see most of it, but it was just, I think he showed up late, not practicing. Saints
were just doesn't care right now. He's just so unhappy in Green Bay.
I thought he was going to go on a tear just to like prove himself and then go out. But, you know, I was listening to some more national stories. Colin Cowherd said Russell Wilson had issues with the Seahawks this offseason. They go out and get him a guard and draft him like something. And, you know, he immediately flips the script, throws four touchdowns. Aaron, who also had this, still excuse after excuse, still not, you know, he comes in, plays the worst game probably among all 32 starting quarterbacks this week. And, you know, it's like nothing is ever good enough for that guy.
Yeah.
You know, like he needs to learn how to overcome things if he wants to be at the level that he's at. You know, when you're at that level, three-time MVP, I think the best, lowest interception ratio to touchdown in the history of the league. He's obviously naturally talented, but he's not winning the Super Bowls or getting to them because of his attitude. He's not a leader. He thinks, what was I going to say? He's more about blaming others, it seems like, than taking responsibility.
And you see that at quarterback, even when it's not your fault, they like to, you know, take it like it is. I think, at least at the rate it's going, he's going to look back as kind of a disappointment. He should have won more. Like they would, they'd say about Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning had that late one at the end. But like you were saying a week ago, they like to call him a choke artist and stuff. What has Rodgers done to show otherwise?
Right, he's 1-5 in NFC championships. And like, let's be honest,
he's lost a few at home.
Yeah, this past one too, to a hot weather team, Tampa Bay, on their own home field. He at least used to have the numbers. Like if you're one of those guys who like likes to, oh, Tom Brady's terrible, I don't care if he has 7 Super Bowl. Like what, you're an idiot, but whatever. But he doesn't even have the number. Like Drew Brees has the better numbers.
Yeah.
For the Super Bowl, with one-time Super Bowl quarterback. Like, I don't understand this whole Aaron Rodgers the best quarterback of all time nonsense. Had Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, Davante Adams. So let's stop pretending like he never had weapons. Always has a great offensive line, good coaches.
Who did Drew Brees have as a number one receiver for most of his career?
Right.
Not anybody near that level of talent.
Right, right.
I mean, he had Michael Thomas, but Drew Brees was also a lot older than Aaron Rodgers was at that point.
He had Jimmy Graham, but like Brees didn't have any of those guys. That's when he won a Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then even Brady, he wins all these Super Bowls. When you gave him his best team of Welker and Moss, he didn't win, which was – but Moss was only there, I think, 3 seasons and then part of one where he was traded. Another one, Brady was hurt for the year. So Brady really only had Moss for 2 years, and when he did, they went 16-0, and he caught 23 touchdowns. Right, and then what? Welker, anyone who says Brady had Welker is an idiot. Welker had Brady, and like, let's just be honest.
Yeah, but I mean, I agree. He's a good fit for the system they needed.
Yeah, 100%, and yeah, I don't think, like, if I'm a GM, I don't know if I rely on Aaron's natural talent, especially when it comes to the way he's treating Green Bay. I don't know if I want that as my quarterback when he's pushing 40, playing the way he did last week. And, I mean, let's face it, these quarterbacks are better now than ever. Wasn't Kyler Murray, like, weren't the Cardinals supposed to stick with Josh Rosen? And wasn't Kyler Murray too short to play? Dude had 5 touchdowns this week. You can find a quarterback much easier
today. It's very different than it used to be. Now, JP, let's get into some of your picks.
Yeah. Picks this week. Okay, so I picked 5 games. A lot of them, I generally, as a better, like to take the favorites minus points.
Okay.
So today I got 4 minuses and 1 plus. So I'll begin my first one. I'm going to take the Bengals +3 against the Bears.
Okay. How'd the Bears look? Are they going to go with Fields this week?
Nothing's been confirmed. This is me assuming they're playing Andy Dalton.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Let me ask you this before we get in, because this would be interesting. Do you, if Justin Fields plays, do you like the Bears suddenly more?
Their chances are better. I think the line would change. Yeah. If it becomes Bengals, like if they say they have a rookie quarterback, so we're going to favor the Bengals and make it plus two, I don't know if I like it. But if they swing the other way and give the Bengals maybe 3.5,
yeah.
I would still say take the Bengals.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Bengals looked great last week, even though it went to overtime with the Vikings. I think Joe Burrow is better than people think.
I think the Bengals are going to be a problem because I don't think, I mean, the Bengals had Carson Palmer for a couple of years, but I think Burrow can be just an elite quarterback for the next 10 years.
Yeah, Joe Burrow or Jamar Chase, I think, is the highest graded rookie wideout by Pro Football Focus this week. He had 101 yards and a touchdown. Joe Mixon's leading the league in rushing through one game. I think the O-line has issues, but it's gotten better.
Yeah.
Whereas the Bears seem like the same old Bears from a year ago, but only they're playing Dalton instead of their rookie sensation quarterback, which is idiotic.
All right. But yeah. So we have Bengals plus 3, you like?
Yes.
All right.
Bengals over Bears plus 3. Next, I'm going to take 49ers minus 3.5 over Philly.
Okay.
Philly won this past week against Atlanta, but Philly and Atlanta are both teams who are just they're both rebuilding. I don't think either one wants to admit it, but they are. Jalen Hurts played sensationally well against a Atlanta defense. However, San Fran's defense is no Atlanta defense. I think the 49ers are Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, and that the rest of the D-line is going to get after Jalen Hurts. Yeah. I think Kyle Shanahan will confuse the kid, and I think offensively, whether they're throwing, running, 49ers and Kyle Shanahan always seem to find a scheme that works.
What are they doing in San Francisco right now? Are they doing a two-quarterback kind of thing?
Garoppolo's their guy, but Trey Lance did come in, I think, around like goal line situations or ones like within the 10-yard line, because he did throw a touchdown. I think that maybe fourth and short situations will come in. And I think...
Is that a run pass option? They want to have that?
Yeah. Threat? I think an exciting part of the game today is you'll see that slowly come aboard. You always see these changes in the game, whereas the idea was once you have a good player, you pay him. You don't let him hit free agency. And then instead, or you let him hit.
Yeah.
Because you can't pay him. However, teams got smarter. They said, I draft a guy, he plays here for 4 years. And then on that fifth-year option, if we know we're not going to pay the guy, we'll just trade him away and get a draft pick.
Yeah.
Or, I think teams are getting smarter, and I think something that you will start to see is this trend of two quarterbacks on a team. Not what you'll have your starting quarterback, you know, your
and then kind of a specialist.
Yeah, and then you have a specialist who can run strictly for short yardage. Like you saw the Raiders did it yesterday with Mariota. They came in, I can't remember if it was a third and short or a fourth and short, but Mariota's not a slouch quarterback either. He's a capable starter if someone was to get hurt. So if you bring him in for a run pass option, you know, he has the ability to throw the ball as well, but you know, he ended up just doing RPO and took it up for 31 yards on the ground on one carry. So I think you'll start to see that with the, you know, Taysom Hills and all that.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're taking the 49ers minus 3.5 over the Eagles.
Yes. I think they will cover. They should win by at least 4.
All right. Next pick.
Yeah, so my next pick, I'm going to take Seattle minus 5.5 against Tennessee.
Okay.
I think Tennessee struggled heavily against Kyler Murray and the Cardinals this week. Okay. Kyler Murray is the closest thing to Russell Wilson in the league.
Yeah, I agree. They have the same kind of body type.
Yeah.
I think Kyler Murray's a lot more athletic, though.
Yeah, but in that sense, Russell's still more efficient throwing the ball, I believe. I think Tennessee's defense needs to improve. That's going to be the downfall of this team. Defense guys can't cover. Seattle's got Tyler Lockett to fly down the field. DK Metcalf to work it. Chris Carson, very underrated running back. Defense has gotten better with the Jamal Adams sign. And I think that Seattle is going to be a Super Bowl caliber team this year. And Tennessee, you knock them off their game, they're panicking. I think Julio Jones was, you know, a sexier name to the table than what he actually presents to that team.
Okay.
He's
how old is Jones right now?
He's about 33, 34.
Okay. That's right around where receivers drop off. I mean, there are exceptions to the rule, and he's one of the best receivers to ever play the game, but still, age is age, unless you're Tom Brady.
Yeah, and Titans, for as good as Derrick Henry is, if you can get them down by two possessions, you know, it's a totally different team when they're uncomfortable.
I agree.
I'm going to take the Patriots this week, -5.5 against the Jets.
Okay.
Yeah, Mac Jones was the highest graded rookie quarterback this past week, and he had a sensational preseason. I think he'll outplay Zach Wilson, and I think the Patriots' defense, their new additions, including Matt Judon, should work the Jets' offensive line.
Has Mac Jones outperformed, like, since including the preseason, has he done better than you expected him to do?
Yeah, 100%. I thought Mac Jones was a guy who benefited from a team that happened to have Jalen Waddle and Waddle was out, but you had Devontae Smith and the rest of Alabama's offensive line.
You see a lot of college quarterbacks like that who are just surrounded by talent, and then they come in and they're like, okay, are they actually that good?
Mm-hmm.
And
I think Belichick loved his like attention to detail. He reminded him of Brady a lot.
Yeah, so, maybe it's just the right guy for the right system.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Whereas all these other guys are like athletes, you know, that typically have been getting drafted recently. Mac Jones is more of a traditional drop back quarterback, which I think Belichick likes.
I agree. And who did you say that they're playing? The Jets?
Jets.
Now, did the Jets win the first week?
Jets lost.
Oh, okay. They played the Panthers, correct? How did Zach Wilson look?
He was like, he struggled at first, then picked it up towards the end.
Yeah.
But I think New England's better defensively than Carolina. I think Belichick. I think Belichick's gonna get done. He is 20-6 in his career versus rookie quarterbacks. Yeah.
Who do you like out of the AFC East this year overall?
I still like Buffalo.
Yeah. Do you think there could be a wild card team with the Patriots?
Or Dolphins. I do like the Dolphins too. I'm not a Tua guy, but I think Flores is a phenomenal coach. They have a defense that's great, and they got Tua playmakers. They're upgraded their receiving core, good tight end, O-line that's improving, and New England too is no slouch of Belichick, and now they have Mac Jones. I feel like they had the most opt-outs last year due to COVID. Mm-hmm. So Belichick kind of like didn't even take the season seriously to begin with as much. I mean, he had Cam Newton, who at this point, you know, is past his prime, we'll say.
For sure.
So I think New England's a better team. Dolphins are still a great team. Buffalo's still a good team. Jets are a distant four.
Yeah. I agree. I like Flores as a coach in Miami. Miami just seems like they can't get a coach since I've been alive. That has been consistent and can stay. I think Flores has a chance.
I do too. I think he's a Belichick guy that's going to pan out. He has a team that's trending in the right direction. Like I said, I feel like if they would have picked Herbert over Tua, they'd easily be contending for the AFC Championship. But be that as it may, with Tua, they're still a competitive team. I think Bills win the division and Dolphins or Patriots gets in as well. And the other one will be one of the best teams to miss.
Okay. And pick number five.
Pick number five, Chiefs -3.5 against the Ravens. Chiefs to me are a team basically you pick every week.
Yeah. Unless the spread's like 14 points.
Right. So, yeah, I saw like the Lions this week are plus double digits against Green Bay, and there's another double digit game. I forget exactly what it was. So, it was the Rams, whoever they're playing. The other team's getting 12 and a half or something.
Oh, wow.
Oh, or like Houston or someone's getting 12. I don't know. Yeah, but anyway, Chiefs have the ability to beat anybody by a touchdown. You get minus anything below a 7. I'm taking the Chiefs regardless of who they play. Baltimore's still a pretty good team, but I mean, they don't have Marcus Peters anymore. They don't have a running back. It's, they don't have the playmakers that they used to, I don't believe. And I think the Chiefs are just going to keep firing with Hill and Kelsey.
I feel like the Ravens aren't at, like last year, I was afraid to play the Ravens. This year, not so much.
Yeah, I was big on them even just a week ago or two when I was on the show. I hyped up the Ravens, but I think the Marcus Peters loss is huge. Corners are so hard to come by, and they had two of them that were Pro Bowl caliber. They don't, running backs just aren't there. Yeah, I mean, I guess they improved the receiving core, but I mean, I don't think they're going to keep up with Kansas City.
Right. Yeah, not that high powered offense. Mm-hmm. All right. Do you have anything else you want to add to this? Because we're right around 40 minutes.
I would say going forward for the Steelers while we're in Pittsburgh, this week, I do like, I don't know who I like to win that because the Raiders have a history of knocking off the Steelers, but the Steelers defense is coming off a phenomenal game.
What's the spread?
Offense needs to click against a defense that isn't good. I will take the Steelers this week as I initial, I'm not talking about the spread, just head to head. I'm going to take the Steelers this week. I think the Raiders' defense is still a work in progress. Gruden, I'm not sure Gruden knows what he's doing half the time. So I think Steelers should get the W. I just want to see more production out of the offense.
I agree. Now, Jeremy, to wrap this up, I don't know if you saw this. This is some sad news to wrap it up. It's not sports related. But I just saw that comedian Norm Macdonald passed away today.
Yeah, I just got word from that, too. It's been all over the news. Yeah, that's a tragedy. He's
one of my all-time favorite comedians. I think he's a lot funnier than people give him credit for.
I agree. He's, like, a little over the top, but not too over the top. He kind of plays like a character persona.
I agree. I think he does when he's doing an act within the act.
Yes, and his performance.
But I think he's a weirdo at the same time, for sure, because I don't think he has a driver's, didn't have a driver's license. Like, I think there might have been some things like that. But I think he was very self-aware of the way he came across, and it was very on purpose.
I think his performance at this Comedy Central roast, I forget what roast he was at or who they were doing, but his performance has still got to be one of the top five, maybe definitely top 10, maybe top five performances of all time, because he did not take it seriously, but also very seriously at the same time, just making stupid remark after stupid remark. And the crowd loved it. And like, it was just great to see someone take on that role instead of, you know, the traditional sense of it. You know, he made fun of the roast, like, kind of like it was like a 50s roast or something, and it was really funny.
He was great. He was great on Saturday Night Live, Weekend Update. He's great. And what's that one movie?
Screwed.
Screwed. You're a big fan of Screwed.
I do love Screwed. That was not his most popular, but probably the one closest to my heart.
Yeah. Well, Sports Guy JP, I appreciate your time. We'll check in with you next week. I didn't check to see how your picks did the first week, so we'll have to check on that. But did you follow through?
I think I may have been 2-3. I can't remember. I don't think Kansas City covered, and I know Vegas won, and I took Baltimore.
Okay. Well, yeah, that I would have taken. I would have agreed with you on that one. But, you know, just like last week.
Rams covered against the Bears, and I forget the other one I picked.
Okay. Well, hopefully better this week. But like I said, we'll check back with you next week. We appreciate your time. For Sports Guy JP, I'm Chris. Please continue to listen to the regular Poor Man's Podcast and check in for the Sports Extra. I believe it'll be every Tuesday, so we'll get that Monday Night Football in, and we'll check with you Tuesday. JP, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. For JP, for Chris.
Thanks for listening.